you will, take your Bibles and look with me in Ruth chapter 1 as we continue our study in the book of Ruth. It's just four chapters long, but a book that is full of Christ and the gospel and how it is that God in His mercy and grace saves even the worst of sinners. Last time, in the first four verses, we saw God's unfolding providence, how He used famine, how He used marriage relationships, how He used even the descent into Moab, which was a cursed nation, and yet there preserved a remnant in Naomi, even though she lost her husband and two sons. And then how those sons, before they passed, had married Moabitess women. You would think, well, all of this just goes contrary to what you would think as to how God would work. And yet, we see that it was for a purpose. That's what it's called, God's unfolding purpose. He's directing all things. And we're going to see that it was to bring out of Moab this one woman named Ruth. So I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 18, but we'll be coming back over this again next time and get as far as the Lord directs. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lift up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. And notice here, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. We'll pause the reading there. I've entitled this message, Many Called, Few Chosen. This is a terminology that we find in Scripture, and we'll look at it here in just a little bit. But I believe what I've just read for you illustrates what the Scriptures teach about many called. In other words, they hear the same message as you or I do, and yet at a given point in time they walk away. But few chosen. And I believe what we have here in Ruth and what we have in Naomi is an illustration of those who are chosen of God by His grace. That He does not let go, and that in mercy effectively draws to Himself. And if you're the Lord's, then you can say, well, Ruth's testimony is my testimony. It's the Lord that has done it. I've told you the story before about a man walking down the street. And as he walks, some dogs join in and begin to follow him and his dogs. And if you could picture it, all these dogs together following this man on a walk, and you might ask yourself, well, in the end, how do you know whose dog is whose? Well, ultimately, the test will be that when the man gets to his house, those dogs that are his will continue right on in with him. And the rest will turn and go away. Now, in this narrative that I've just read for you, we actually have three dogs, using that term symbolically, but they're walking along. And as you see them go, even as here in verse 6, it says, when she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. There's something specific there, because initially the one who heard was Naomi. And so here the Lord is drawing her back to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And that's where our Lord, many centuries later, was born, in Bethlehem. So all of this is symbolic, but this is the house of bread. Christ being the bread of life, that was where God purposed that His Son should enter this world, as the bread of life. But as these walk along for a while, you notice in verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So you say, well, in the end, are they all the Lord's? Is this the Lord's purpose? Or what's going to be the result? And some might fault Naomi, because as they continued to follow her, she wasn't being a very good evangelist by world standards. In popular religion, if you get a few people coming together and following you, so-called evangelists get excited to say, well, I got a crowd. But that's not it. It's not how many people you can bring in and build a building or an organization. That's not salvation. And here we see a very clear example of that. As Naomi pressed them, and indeed it was the Lord using her to press them, in the end, Orpah turns back. She was overcome by the arguments that this path would not be easy. I know the popular message in preaching today is, turn your life over to Jesus and all will be well. That's what you hear people preaching. But I tell you, if the Lord graciously reveals himself in you and draws you to the Christ of Scripture, that's where your problems begin. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be an isolation. That's why the Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. Renounce yourself. There's a dividing. If you don't hate father and mother, it says it. Christ said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And if you don't believe it, just weigh, if you're the Lord's, weigh the isolation that you face right now as opposed to even family and friends that don't understand why it is you're not worshiping with them in all these big religious organizations. There's been a dividing. And they scratch their heads and say, well, isn't Jesus Jesus? Isn't Christ Christ? Isn't God God? No. There is a Jesus. There is a gospel. There is a spirit at work in works religion. But it's not the spirit. It's not the gospel. It's not the Lord Jesus. And so Naomi, being led of the Spirit and addressing this, in the end, there came a dividing. And we'll come back to this in the next message, but you can see that in verse 14, they lift up their voice and wept again. Wept again. People think that emotion is salvation. There's been many a person that has wept under the influence of maybe an emotional message or under the weight of guilt. And that's not salvation. As we see even here. She wept again, but then what? Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, verse 14. But Ruth clave unto her. And that's the part I want you to see. They both heard Naomi. They both heard the testimony that the Lord had visited the people, her people, his people, once again giving them bread. Now, if you look on a map, Moab was a neighboring country to Israel. So this would have been somewhat of a short distance between Moab and Israel to get back. Although when you're on foot and walking in the heat, any distance can be lengthy. But Naomi, as she communicated why she was leaving, why she was going back, these clung to her based on that message. And it may be that even with us, initially, as we testify, as we talk to others about how the Lord is teaching us and drawing us to Himself and separating us out, some for a while may say, well, I'll go with you. They might even say, I'll go to that little congregation with you and sit there with you and listen for a while. But if they're not the Lord's, if Christ hasn't redeemed them, with time there comes a dividing. And sometimes it's radical. Over the years in preaching, I've seen people get up. It's like all of a sudden the light bulb came on and they get angry and they run out that door. They finally heard what was being said and what was being preached. And in essence, in going back, they're saying, your God isn't my God. That's not my Jesus. Well, that's the dividing that takes place. And you can see in verse 15 how clearly Naomi defined what had taken place with Orpah. It wasn't that she just turned back, but we can still be in fellowship and we'll still have the same God. Look what she said. Behold, she said to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. You see, there are many places of worship around the world today, even in this city. And I know people say, well, the important thing is just go to church somewhere. No, there's the church is the called out ones. That's what the word church means. There are those that have been called out by God's grace, that God has sought out. Even as Christ said to the Samaritan woman, that the Father seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and truth. You suppose there's any that the Father has sought that He hadn't found? He's not like us where we look for things and we We lose it, we can't find it, and oh well. Not the Father. Everyone that He seeks, He draws. And He gives them that spirit of true worship. But all others, it would be defined as false worship. Notice here it's little G-O-D-S. There's not many ways of worship. There are little G-O-D-S, and then there's God Almighty. And that's who the God of the Bible is. He distinguishes Himself from all other little G-O-D-S, and He draws those of His own in His grace to Himself in that same distinction. And you can see where Ruth says in verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave thee." In essence, she's saying, "Stop entreating me to leave you. I'm telling you that the Lord is drawing me to the point where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people." And look at her statement there in verse 16. This wasn't just moving up the road. "Thy God, my God." And that's a capital G-O-D. That's the evidence of one that has been chosen and called. There are many that are called, but few chosen. Many hear the general proclamation of the gospel, and yet listen for a while and then turn their way. But there are those that the Lord has chosen, and in grace, through that same message, He's pleased to draw them. I've seen it over the years, where people sit where you're sitting, and hearing the same gospel message, one will get up mad and go out, and the other will rejoice. Say, "Well, who makes you to differ?" That's the Lord. It's the Lord. So, coming back here to this example of the three dogs, I know some get offended. They say, "Well, why are you calling them dogs?" Well, that's a pretty good term when it comes to the Scriptures. If you look in Matthew chapter 15, here's an example of how we distinguish the dog that belongs to the master. Here in Matthew chapter 15 is a woman, a Canaanite woman. She wasn't even an Israelite. Much like Ruth. Ruth was not an Israelite. She was a Moabitess. And by all rights, condemned. Here, when Christ walked this earth, was another example of a Canaanite woman. It says in verse 21 of Matthew 15 that when Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, every word of Scripture is important, because when it says He departed, it actually means He left Israel. He left these that He was speaking with alone. Well, who was He speaking with? In the first part of Matthew 15, it says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" So here was a whole religious generation that stood in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is and why He had come into this world. He didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners. And Ruth epitomizes that in our story in Ruth. And here in Matthew 15 and verse 21, our Lord leaves the self-righteous religious generation to themselves in their ignorance and in their rebellion. And where does He go? Into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. That's outside of Israel. This is just like the Lord did with Elijah. There were many widows in the land of Israel, but to none of them, the Scripture said, did the Lord send a prophet, but to the widow of Sarepta. And you look at Sarepta, that was outside of Israel. There were many lepers in Israel in that day, but to none of them, the Scriptures say, in Luke 4, did God send a prophet, but to Naaman the Syrian. Those were the enemies of Israel. Moab that we see here in Ruth chapter 1. Enemy of Israel. These were the ones that wouldn't even give them a drink of water when they asked passage to go up through that country into the land of Israel, the promised land. And yet, it was there that the Lord sent His messenger in an unusual way through Naomi to be the witness and by Naomi to draw Ruth out. Here, our Lord, in Matthew 15:21, enters the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And a love, here again, every word's important, and behold, of all the land of Tyre and Sidon, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And our Lord did not cater to her immediate cry. There's popular religion today says, well, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is say the prayer, cry unto the Lord, and you'll be saved. Just take him at his word. Well, here's a lady that cried unto the Lord, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And he answered her not a word. This matter of salvation is going to be in the Lord's time. It's just like with Naomi there in Moab. 10 years went by. And she lost everything she had. But that timing, even when we read over here that when she heard in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited His people. That time of visitation was of the Lord. And the same thing we see here. He was drawing this woman, but she would be brought on His terms. Because He's the Lord. Matter of salvation is of Him. And you can see the same opposition. The disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. The sense there is she won't stop crying after us. That's that urgency that the Spirit gives by His grace to continue to cry after the Lord. And so here now in verse 24 he says, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now there again the Lord makes clear that His coming into the world wasn't for everybody, but for a particular people that the Father had given Him from all eternity. In John chapter 10, he's called the Good Shepherd. And the sheep are those that the Father had put into His hand from eternity to come and save. Notice it doesn't say there, I am not sent but unto the house of Israel. House of Israel would be national Israel, natural Israel. And that's He came unto His own in that sense. But notice, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it wasn't even all of Israel, the national Israel for whom He came. There is a people, just like over here in Ruth 1 and verse 6, how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. There is a people called sheep that the Father in His grace and mercy has purposed to save. And so He was reminding this woman, crying after Him. Now, here all the while He was drawing her. But He was going to cause her even there to see that any salvation be by His distinctive grace alone. And you can see by her response, verse 25, doesn't it mirror, parallel, even that of Ruth? The more Naomi pressed, in fact, I read that for you. The more Naomi encouraged them to return, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law to return, it says, but Ruth clave unto her. In other words, hugged her even closer. Just as we see this Canaanite woman. Then she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. I know people that as soon as they hear the word election, that God has chosen those that He'll save, they'll cry out unfair. They'll say, God ought to give everybody a chance. Well, the problem is salvation is not by chance. It's by the will of God. And if you're the Lord's, hearing this message, rejoicing in this God and Savior, the only thing you can say is God did it. It's by His grace. It was Him drawing me. And we worship that very God that the world rejects and denies and says, we'll not have this man to reign over us, is the one in whom we rejoice. But it's because of His grace and mercy. But look at here, it's not done. Verse 26, He answered and said, this is like Naomi pressing Ruth and Orpah to turn back. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. There it is. And she said, I'm appalled? No. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Oh, to be a dog. Oh, to be one that follows the master all the way. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Why was it great? Well, God had given it to her. It's like in the beginning of the creation of the world, it says that God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was good. I wouldn't expect less. This faith was not from this woman. It wasn't from within her. It was great because God had given it to her to give her those eyes to look to Christ alone. And He said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. But you see why I use that example even of Ruth and Naomi being dogs. The master is God Himself drawing them. And yet, as dogs, even as here in the portion that we just read in Matthew chapter 15, nothing could deter her or turn her away. Just as with Ruth here, in our story, nothing would cause her to turn away. That's God's grace in drawing. But as I said in the beginning, this message is about many called and few chosen. And that's where I want you to see this here in this story. Look back with me in Ruth chapter 1. And we may not get much further than this in verse 6. But here is a call. And in the end, we see that in this call, there is a special call that could not be resisted. But then there is also that general call in which it may be resisted. And that was the case with Orpah. But with regard to the call, notice in verse 6, it says, for she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord. So that's the first thing with regard to this calling unto salvation. It is of the Lord. We sing that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so here, definitively, we see that any calling, any drawing of sinners to Himself is of the Lord. He is the source of all blessing. That's what it takes. It's the Lord. She heard how that the Lord had visited His people. But then the second key word there in verse 6 is the word visited. This isn't just a drive-by visit. Just, I'm going to stop by for a visit, we tell somebody. That's not how the word is used. It's a stronger word that actually means appointed, the appointed time and season of the Lord for refreshment. So this was determined. In that word, visited, is the word determined. And here again, we see a picture of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just come down to this earth to try to get as many saved as possible. If that were His mission, do you realize He would be a failure? because the majority of people turned thumbs down on him. He walked away from many. In fact, he hid himself from many. Why would he do that if his mission was to try to save everybody? So this is where the modern religion has it topsy-turvy. Now, there is a specific reason that the Lord came into this world to visit His people. When it's talking about here in verse 6, symbolically, that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Fast forward to the coming of Christ, the living bread. He has visited His people in giving them bread. In fact, that's what Zacharias sang when the Lord opened His mouth there in Luke chapter 1. That the Lord has visited His people. Same language that's being used. But I'd have you look with me over in Luke chapter 19. Remember, I said early on that those that the Father seeks, He finds. The God of Scripture is not up in heaven wringing His hands, wishing and hoping that people would believe on His Son. No. He's directing all things through His Son, who came, lived, died, and rose again and ascended on high, and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's seated on the throne. But even here on earth, His mission was defined in Luke chapter 19. And look in verse 10. And here again is an example of many called but few chosen. The example of Zacchaeus. Here he was, chief of the publicans. He was hated by the religious people of his day. He was rich. But you can see in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus who he was. And could not for the press because he was little of stature. As he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree in verse 4, to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. There was a whole crowd there. But the Lord never spoke a word to anybody but Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus came out of curiosity, but the Lord purposed to pass that way and to see him and to draw him because he knew him already from eternity. You say, how do you know that? Well, read on. It says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That's what an effectual call does. It engages, it moves, just like with Ruth, caused her to cleave unto Naomi. She didn't know even one day from where she was standing what the Lord had purposed, but those words coming out of her mouth, her embracing Naomi and saying, thy God will be my God, that was the Lord putting that testimony in her mouth. And as His will unfolded, it became apparent then that she was brought into that lineage of Christ. But it wasn't anything foreknown by her. Nor this case with Zacchaeus. But I just know when the Lord is pleased to call effectually, you can't stay put. And here again, we have modern religion topsy-turvy. We have preachers trying to make it happen. Preachers trying to twist people's arms. Preachers trying to get people to pray a prayer. Preachers trying to get people to walk an aisle and do something. None of that happened. There wasn't even an invitation given. People say, well, he should have invited the whole crowd. No. He summoned one. That was Zacchaeus. Now, they all heard him. They heard the call. See, that's many are called. They heard this call. And yet, there was one that moved. And it says, made haste, verse 6, and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, there's the they. There's Zacchaeus, the effectually called one, and then there's the crowd, which heard and saw the same thing as Zacchaeus, and yet, what was their reaction? Verse 7, murmured. saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And some may condemn Ruth that way. I've heard messages condemning the whole lot. Elimelech going down there, Naomi and the Moab shouldn't have gone. That's why the two sons died. All this could have, would have, should have. They murmur about God's providence in arranging the whole history to go down there to Moab to save one sinner and bring her out. And just like here with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood, verse 8, and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Isn't it interesting that as the Lord was drawing him, he started thinking about in terms of trying to keep the law? That's where his mind went back. Okay, Lord, what's the law require here for me to enter in favor? And the Lord didn't commend any of that or require it or say to him, "Yes, you better go do that first and then come back to me." Look at verse 9. Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." And when it says that, that means one of those chosen ones. See, many called, but few chosen. He's one of these. And notice, "This day is salvation come to this house." Without condition, freely, fully. You say, how so? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. And what of his mission, as I began with? You know, this appointed time and season. Paul wrote in Galatians 4, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." It's by God's appointment, that visitation. And here the same thing, verse 10, "For," here's the context, "the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I know we say many times we refer to lost sinners as if it's anybody that doesn't know Christ, but in reality, that's not the case. I can tell you, according to Scripture, every true lost sinner the Lord has saved. That's who he came, it says here, to seek and to save that which is lost. What's the problem with sinners in general? They're not lost. They don't see themselves as lost. They're not seeking. They trust in their works and in their righteousness. But when the Lord is pleased to do a work, that's where he opens their eyes and causes them to see. And you can identify with this if you're the Lord's and he's drawn you by his Spirit, that I'm nothing. Like Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I dwell amongst the people with unclean lips." That means I too am of that same nature. But in verse 10, that specific seeking out and visiting, you see there, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So everyone that Christ seeks, he saved. He did it by his obedient life and by his sacrificial death. Now, by his Spirit, if you're one of his and he's paid your debt, when he opens your eyes, it's not at that moment then that you're saved. People like to throw that word around. They have a so-called revival meeting and they say so many people got saved. And they attach it to some activity that the preacher asks them to do. Walk an aisle, say a prayer, bow the head, raise the hand. That's not salvation. When the Lord said here in verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house," he didn't require anything of Zacchaeus. He was just telling them a fact. That Zacchaeus, you're one of those that I came in this world to seek and to save. And yes, these all around are murmuring, calling you a sinner. Yes, that's who you are. But I am your salvation. Without condition. That this message, those that are left to themselves cannot tolerate. Because they like to keep people under their thumb. They like to give them something to do. They like to to put them under obligation. But Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, if righteousness come by law, and law means any rule or obligation at all. See, even after the gospel was preached by Paul, there were these Judaizers that came back around and said, okay, yes, Christ fulfilled all the law except for circumcision. So if you really, really want to be saved, the only thing you got to do is be circumcised and become a Jew like us. And Paul said, if you so much as be circumcised for that reason, you've fallen from grace. If righteousness come by law, any rule obligation. If I tell a person to be saved, you got to raise your hand. You got to bow your head. You got to walk an aisle. You got to go through this class. You got to be baptized. You got to join the church. If I put any obligation as the condition for salvation, then Christ is dead in vain. That sums it all up right here, that this matter of salvation is of the Lord. And so, again, coming back to Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, that's what we're seeing. It's the Lord. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord, it's by His appointed blessing, had visited. But then notice, thirdly, the particular objects of His grace, His people. That's specific. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. And lo and behold, when it says His people, it doesn't mean just Jew. Because here was the Lord drawing a Ruth, a Moabitess. Jew and Gentile, that's the Israel of God. It's not national Israel. God preserved national Israel for a reason, to bring His Son through that nation. But as far as who He saves, all of Scripture shows that His salvation was for sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue in the world. That was the point that the Apostle Paul even made concerning Abraham. When God called Abraham, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Syrian. It was the Lord that called him, not Assyria. So, to be particular objects of His grace, His people. Fourthly, you see here the bread, giving His people bread, Christ the bread. That's more than just physical bread, but spiritual. But then notice where she was when she heard. It says in verse 6, for she had heard in the country of Moab. You know, that's where the Lord finds His own. It's in condemnation. And He causes them to hear. That's the blessed truth of God's salvation, is that He's going to get His word to every single one that He's purposed to save. And that's that effectual call. He's going to draw them out. The general call, just like Orpah, many others in Moab that may have been curious about Naomi going back, but they didn't follow her. But Ruth did. That's that effectual call that God grants to those that He has purposed to save. Well, there's a lot more here, and we're going to come back to this, Lord willing, next time. But read on. I want us to see, as we come back over this same portion next time, how it is that the Spirit does work in a heart when He's pleased to call those of His own to Christ.